Ever notice what happens when your home is beautifully organized? You have more space, more room to breathe. At California Closets, our designers know just what questions to ask to create exactly what you want. Your personalized experience includes custom design and installation to deliver a result that truly reflects your style and needs. That's the California Closets difference. We call it practical magic. Book your free design consultation today at californiaclosets.com. When you look around your home, what makes you smile? Personal touches? Beautiful light, lines, colors, things of quality that enhance your life. California Closets specializes in making space for what belongs, with richly textured finishes and quality materials that last. From the bedroom to the pantry to the mudroom, everything we do is custom designed, built, and installed by people who take pride in serving you. Think of it as practical magic. Book your free design consultation today at californiaclosets.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Scott Mason. Scott is the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing New York Jets content. On the program, we preview the New York Jets Monday night season opener against the Buffalo Bills. Also, we discuss the Jets offense and defense. We talk head coach Robert Saleh. Also, of course, we talk quarterback Aaron Rodgers. The Jets fans' response to Rodgers playing for the team, also the 2023 season outlook for the Jets, and much more. Scott is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
The Historic New Orleans Collection is a free museum, publisher, and research center in the heart of the French Quarter, on view through October 8th, 2023. Be sure to plan your visit to 520 Royal Street at hnoc.org. The Smithsonian Traveling Exhibition, American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith, examines the continuing evolution of our government, of, by, and for the people. Be sure to plan your visit to 520 Royal Street at hnoc.org.
Wicked, Broadway's most popular musical, returns to New Orleans. Don't miss the untold true story of the Witches of Oz from November 29th through December 17th at the Sanger Theater. Tickets are on sale now. Wicked, it's the only musical with the power to defy gravity. Visit BroadwayInNewOrleans.com to get wicked.
Before Sarah discovered ChumbaCasino.com, she enjoyed chamomile tea.
Come on, big jackpot.
And being in PJs by 6.
Let's go.
The new fun Sarah.
Woohoo!
Often thinks about the old boring Sarah.
Yes.
And wonders if that Sarah ever really existed.
Chumba Casino has over 100 casino-style games. So join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I want to say thank you to Christopher and Woody for bringing me here. Obviously, Coach Saleh, Joe Douglas, my agent, they've done. This is a surreal day for me. After spending 18 years in the same city, it's been a lot of introductions today and meeting a lot of people, but there's a lot of excitement. I'm here because I believe in this team. I believe in Coach Saleh. I believe in the direction of Joe Douglas. Obviously, he's drafted really well the last couple of years, having an offensive and defensive rookie of the year. But big thanks to the Jets organization. Obviously, a big thanks to the Green Bay Pack organization for an incredible run. That chapter is over now, and I'm excited about the new adventure here in New York.
Out with the old and in with the new. After so many great seasons with the Green Bay Packers, quarterback Aaron Rodgers makes the trek from Wisconsin to the Meadowlands Northern New Jersey, New York City, the Big Apple, and certainly Aaron Rodgers, that was at his press conference earlier in the year, being introduced as the new quarterback of the New York Jets. And, of course, we're going to talk about, well, no longer number 12, but he's number 8 now, Aaron Rodgers. We're also going to discuss head coach Robert Saleh and also preview the Jets game against the Buffalo Bills and so much more. Let's take the trip up I-95 and head to the New Jersey Meadowlands and talk to a gentleman that we've had on the program on more than a few occasions, always giving us the insights on Gang Green, a.k.a. the J-E-T-S, Jets, the New York Jets. He is the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. Let's welcome him back to the program, Scott Mason. Hey, Scott, welcome back to the program, my man.
Hey, Ed, great to be here, man.
Solid. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, of course, we're going to talk about more about A-Rod in just a moment, but let's preview this big Monday night matchup between the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. We know the excitement is surrounding Aaron Rodgers and, of course, the other characters that are going to be playing a big role with the New York Jets this year going up against the Buffalo Bills. How excited are you about this game, especially with it taking place on a Monday night at MetLife Stadium?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, it's hard not to be, right? The stadium's probably going to be the loudest it's been since the season opener, or the home opener, I should say, back in 2009. I still remember that was Rex Ryan's first year with the Jets, Mark Sanchez too. And the Jets began the season with victories before they got to that game against the Patriots. I remember Rex Ryan actually robocalling all the season ticket holders, me being one of them. And he said, we know that the Patriots have the better coach, and we know that the Patriots have the better quarterback, but what we have is you. You're the X factor. We need you to show up. We need you to be loud. We need you to really scream and make it an impact and carry us to victory. I remember that place was so loud, and I think it's going to be like that for Monday night. All the pieces are in place here, right? You've got all the expectations. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got the Buffalo Bills, the division rivals, the team that has controlled the division for the last few years. Obviously, the Patriots were the ones that had it up until Tom Brady left for Tampa, but since then it's been the Buffalo Bills who have been at the top of the division. It's 9/11 in New York. There's so many elements here. National television. I expect this to be the loudest crowd we've heard at MetLife Stadium for a Jets game in over a decade.
Yeah, it's long overdue, Scott, since you mentioned earlier when the Rex Ryan era began, and of course Mark Sanchez and his time in New York. I mean, the fever pitch was electric the moment Aaron Rodgers, it was announced that he was going to be traded to the New York Jets, and certainly it's going to be a fever pitch Monday night when the Jets take on the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be exciting. And of course, they're going up against an in-state rival in the state of New York against the Buffalo Bills. And the Jets, on the offensive side, they made big changes. They signed a big free agent, running back Dalvin Cook. Give me your thoughts, Scott, on Dalvin Cook and what he brings to the table as a running back for the New York Jets.
I think Dalvin Cook, in a lot of ways, is an insurance policy for Breece Hall more than anything else. What you've seen with guys that have had the injury that Breece Hall had is that a lot of times that first year back, it takes them a while to really get back up to speed. And you've heard this from several doctors. They've said that you're looking at Breece Hall being on limited pitch count and probably not being full effectiveness until maybe around week 6 or so. And if you think about it, it's sort of similar to what the Jets had in 2010 when they went to the AFC Championship game. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I'm just making the parallel here between Dalvin Cook and LaDainian Tomlinson. I know Dalvin Cook's a little bit younger, but the same principle applies. LaDainian Tomlinson came in here and was supposed to be the second back to Sean Green, who is the ascending young guy, which is what you're going to see with Breece Hall. And then really what happened with LaDainian Tomlinson is he wound up being the number one back for a significant portion of the season. But the first 6 weeks of the year, he put together some really strong production. Then he fell off, and people will look at his numbers and say, wow, he had a really good year. But most of that production came in the first 6 weeks. If the Jets can get that out of Dalvin Cook, then that's exactly what they need. They need somebody that can really cover until Breece Hall's ready. But I will say this, Aaron Rodgers last year, and this is courtesy of my friend Alex Rollins, who has an outstanding YouTube channel that everybody should subscribe to. He came up with this statistic for me, and I thought it was fascinating. Aaron Rodgers last year threw 35% of his passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. So what does that mean? It means that a guy like Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, or receivers like, say, Mecole Hardman or Garrett Wilson, who can make plays with the ball in their hands, who can take the ball and bring it 6-7 yards on a short pass, a quick strike, somebody like that is valuable. So that's really where I think you're going to see Dalvin Cook make his presence felt, is it's going to be on those short plays. He's going to be probably the lead running back, at least at first, for the first couple of weeks until Breece Hall is back to regular speed, or at least you hope he will be. And so I don't know that I'm as bullish on Dalvin Cook as some people are, because he's fallen off a bit. Last year, in terms of yards above expected, he was towards the bottom of the league, and he started to slowly decline. But if the Jets can get what they need out of him, which is a few strong weeks, and then have him as that second guy after Breece Hall, and that extra weapon for Aaron Rodgers, who clearly is happy that Dalvin Cook is here, he had been recruiting him, then that would be mission accomplished, I think.
Indeed, it would be mission accomplished, and I'm certain that Breece Hall can be at full speed once again. But like you said, Dalvin Cook is indeed an insurance policy. But Dalvin has some great seasons with the Vikings, and who knows, he could put up some major numbers, knock on wood, if he stays healthy for most of the year. And you put Breece Hall in the mix as well. And we go from the running game to the wide receivers. So, of course, Garrett Wilson is back as one of the main wide receivers for the Jets this year. But also, too, you've got new additions to the team. Randall Cobb, Allen Lazard, of course, they're familiar with Aaron during their time together in Green Bay, and Mecole Hardman, Super Bowl winner, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Kansas City Chiefs. Scott, just give me your thoughts on the receiving core for the Jets.
Well, I don't think the receiving core is anything special, honestly. It was a little bit better with Corey Davis before he retired, but even with Corey Davis, you were looking at one real playmaker in Garrett Wilson, who is probably going to be one of the top 5 to 10 receivers in the NFL by the time this season is over. And then after that, you've got some okay receivers. Allen Lazard is fine. He's nothing special. He gives you a big guy that can go downfield and win those go balls for Aaron Rodgers, which is why Rodgers likes him. And the fact that Rodgers trusts him, obviously, is key, and that's why he's here. That's why the Jets signed him as a free agent. Mecole Hardman is fine for what the Jets are going to use him for. And like I said before, Ed, Aaron Rodgers completed 35% of his passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. And Mecole Hardman is ideally suited for that type of situation because he's a very fast guy who, once the ball's in his hands, can make things happen. Hardman is a guy who hasn't really lived up to what the Chiefs thought he would be when they picked him in the second round. They thought he was going to be this incredible playmaker. He's been fine, but a little underwhelming. But in this offense, I think he has a chance to be very interesting. In training camp, there were a lot of plays where Rodgers would go to Hardman on these quick strikes, and I expect to see a lot of that. Randall Cobb, you know what he is, grizzled veteran, 32 years old, winding down his time in the league. He's more of a fourth, fifth receiver type of guy. And then from there, what you're going to see is a lot of these players who are up-and-coming young talent that the Jets are hoping they can get something out of, at least at the moment as we speak, at the two receivers that are going to be prominent pieces at the back end of this receiver rotation are Gibson, who was an undrafted free agent, and then also Jason Brownlee, who is an undrafted free agent. He was out of Southern Miss. I believe Gibson was out of Stephen F. Austin. And Gibson's a fast guy, smaller dude, sort of more along the lines of that Hardman mold, which will fit the Jets system well and what Aaron Rodgers likes to do well. But I think a big part of it, too, is he's probably going to be the primary return man. And Brownlee sort of has that Corey Davis feel to him. Chris Nimbley, who covers the Jets for JetsInsider.com and did a bunch of training camp reports for me on Play Like a Jet, he compared what he saw from Brownlee to Stevie Johnson, the former Buffalo Bills receiver. If he could be anything close to that, that would be an outstanding find for the Jets. So I think the receiving core is, I guess you'd say okay, nothing special. Really would have liked to have seen them add that at that real number two guy that could have been that extra playmaker with Garrett Wilson, but they weren't able to do that. I think you'll see them rely on their tight ends a fair amount too. Tyler Conklin had a disappointing year last year, a lot of fumbles, a lot of drops, but he's got a lot of upside. Very athletic guy, former basketball player. Is he the guy that he was his final year in Minnesota, or is he the guy that he was last year at the Jets? If he can be the guy that he was that final year in Minnesota, I think he'll make quite a bit of a difference. And, Ed, like I said, because of that short strike passing game, you'll see a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends because they'll be in there to block for the running game and also for the short passes. Conklin's a guy that can do that and also make some plays in the passing game. You got C.J. Uzomah. You know what he is. Jeremy Ruckert, I think, will get more opportunities this year as the third tight end as well, the former fourth-round pick of the Jets from last season. So it'll be interesting, or third-round pick, I should say. It'll be interesting, though, to see what they try and do with this passing game. You'll probably see quite a bit of the running backs involved as well to make up for the loss of Corey Davis and a receiving core that I would say is probably at best around average.
Wow, very interesting, right? I was going to ask you about the tight end play for this upcoming season, but you explained it so well, Scott, how you feel that they're going to have more of a short passing game and rely more on the running game and use the tight ends as blockers. And, you know, what we've seen so far leading up into this regular season is that Aaron had some issues with his offensive line, not missing, you know, missing their blocks, not being on time for their assignments. What's going on with the offensive linemen with the Jets, such as Mekhi Becton and also with Wes Schweitzer and Elijah Vera Tucker, who had a terrible injury not too long ago? What's the status? What's the chemistry like right now with Aaron and his offensive linemen?
Well, Ed, I think a lot of it just comes down to health, and that's been the big issue for the Jets more than anything else. You've heard people talk about how bad the offensive line is, and honestly, when these guys are healthy, the projected starters, they're fine. They're probably somewhere around middle of the pack, maybe slightly below, but it's not a bad offensive line when you have Mekhi Becton healthy, when you have Dwayne Brown healthy, when you have Elijah Vera Tucker healthy. The problem is these guys have all been banged up, particularly Brown, Becton, and Vera Tucker. Brown, Vera Tucker, and Becton all coming off of serious injuries. Becton, of course, has missed, for the most part, two straight years with injury. So the Jets are having him in the lineup for the first time in quite a while, and he's switching positions from left tackle to right tackle. Now, I'm not really all that worried about Mekhi Becton when he's playing. What I'm worried about is, can he stay on the field? Elijah Vera Tucker, you know the story with him, very versatile. He's played tackle. He's played guard. He's been really good at both. He has potential to be an all-pro level guard, but he's coming off a major injury last year where he missed a significant portion of the season. Dwayne Brown had shoulder surgery. He's 38 years old. When he's healthy, he's fine. But last year, he was playing a big portion of the season with that shoulder injury and then had the shoulder surgery at the end of the season. He's recovering from that, didn't participate at training camp at all. Of course, AVT missed a portion of training camp. Becton was in and out. Even Lakin Tomlinson, who hadn't had any injury issues, he missed some time at training camp. So the big thing here is whether or not these guys can stay healthy. One thing that they do have that will help them quite a bit is Connor McGovern came back on a cheap one-year deal. He's the projected starter at center, but if the Jets need to, they can move him over to guard and put the rookie Joe Tippmann, their second-round pick out of Wisconsin, at center. If they do that, they can move Elijah Vera Tucker to tackle. That, of course, would be if Dwayne Brown or Mekhi Becton gets hurt. The issue, of course, is if these guys can't stay healthy, then you're going to see some players that you really don't want to see. Wes Schweitzer is okay as depth. You don't really want him starting games. Billy Turner, I'm not trying to be mean here, but he's probably the first tackle off the bench for the Jets here, him or Max Mitchell. And Billy Turner's terrible. He's got a lot of experience. I joke about this on the podcast. He has a lot of starting experience at tackle, at guard, pretty much anywhere you would want to start on the offensive line, but he's bad. And the only reason he's here is because Aaron Rodgers and Nate Hackett like him, but he's not good. Max Mitchell struggled quite a bit at camp. He had his ups and downs. he's been very erratic, and he's a guy that you can't really rely on to be a starter right now for the Jets. So really what it comes down to here, Ed, is that the Jets starting unit hasn't practiced a ton together, in fact, at all, really, because Dwayne Brown hasn't practiced at all. But even the other guys haven't practiced together a ton. But if they're healthy, that is a massive question mark, and that's been the issue. That's why a lot of people thought the Jets should have tried to trade for Josh Jones, who wound up being traded to Houston for a fifth-round pick. I believe it was a fifth-round pick for a seventh-rounder in Josh Jones. Would have been nice to have that kind of depth, because behind the guys that are starting, there's not much. And that's really the issue there. I don't think the offensive line is bad, per se. I think it's just that you've got to hold your breath and hope that they stay healthy, because if they don't, then it could get really bad really quickly.
You're absolutely right about that, Scott. The offensive line is the anchor of the football team, and I know Aaron had his issues with his line. What we've seen and what's been documented leading up until the start of this regular season, hopefully, as you said, knock on wood, they're healthy, everything will be okay, and hopefully number 8 won't be on his back for really the majority of the season. And the bread and butter of the Jets for a long time has been the defense. And let's transition over to the defensive side. John Franklin Myers has been solid. Also, Bryce Huff. And also, Quinnen Williams got rewarded with a big contract during the offseason. Also, you got Al Woods and Yef with the addition of Solomon Thomas. I just want to ask you, what's your thoughts on the defensive line for the Jets coming into this season?
Well, the Jets' defensive line is incredibly deep. And it has potential to be one of the best units in the entire league, the defensive line. What you're looking at here, and this is what's interesting, is the Jets for a long time had really good interior play, but didn't really have much of an outside pass rush. You'd hear jokes about Calvin Pace coming back. He was here for a million years, and Brian Thomas was another one you heard jokes about. But those guys were more edge setters than real havoc causers as pass rushers, similar to Jordan Jenkins, who was here for a few years, a former third-round pick out of Georgia. But none of those guys are going to be confused with actual problem causers from the edge. Now you have the interior presence with guys like Quinnen Williams, and you mentioned Al Woods, Quentin Jefferson, and guys like that. But on the outside, you're going to see some of John Franklin Myers, who I think will play in and out. You're going to see Michael Clemens, who I think will play in and out. But really, the addition of Will McDonald and the progression and development of Jermaine Johnson and Bryce Huff is huge here. Bryce Huff is a guy who, as I've joked, is a one-trick pony. He's a guy that you throw him in there on obvious passing downs and you tell him, go get the quarterback. And he does, and he's really good at it. He's one of those players that I think at the end of the season could put up some big sack numbers and get paid as a free agent. You put him with the two guys that the Jets picked in the first round 2 years in a row, Jermaine Johnson last year, Will McDonald this year. Now, we know that Robert Saleh likes to rotate these guys and keep them fresh, so I don't know that you're going to see them play an enormous amount of snaps, but the combination of Huff, who we know can be very effective as that pass rusher on the outside, Jermaine Johnson, who did pretty well in limited reps last year. I think he played 22% of the snaps. He was more of a factor in the run game, but in the preseason and in training camp, he's been wreaking havoc. He put on muscle, and he really seems to have been ready to take the, or he really seems to be ready to take that step this year, that stride into what the Jets thought they were getting when they picked him in the first round last year. He's been a real problem causer all throughout training camp and in the preseason. And so if he can be that guy, and if Will McDonald, who a lot of people were wondering what he would bring to the table year number one, if he can be that guy this year, which he seemed to be in training camp and in the preseason with these spin moves and all that, you go back and watch his tape, and I'll tell you, Ed, I was hoping for Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver out of Ohio State who went to Seattle, and has looked really, really good in training camp in the preseason, although he might miss some time with an injury. I wanted him to be a Jets draft pick because I thought he could be that number two guy with his old running mate, Garrett Wilson, who, of course, he knows from his Ohio State days. I thought that would be a great combination. When they picked Will McDonald, I was kind of surprised and taken aback because you figured they might go offensive line or perhaps for Jackson Smith and Jigba. But after a couple of minutes, I was good with it because it wasn't a problem with Will McDonald, the player. It was just out of nowhere. Will McDonald, the player, has a chance to be really nasty. And so if Will McDonald, Jermaine Johnson, and Bryce Huff can all get to the quarterback, and then you know what you have inside with Quinnen Williams, who is one of the best defensive players in the league. Last year we saw him break out and become one of the top interior defensive linemen. I think he's going to be even better this year, especially with that added help on the outside. So I think this defensive line group is going to get to the quarterback early and often, and they have a chance to really cause issues for opposing offenses.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, Scott. I mean, that D-line has been good for quite some time for the Jets, and certainly this year the expectations are extremely high. And I want to just get into the linebacker core just for a moment, specifically with C.J. Mosley. Listen, we know about C.J. and his time in Baltimore. Hey, amazing with the Ravens, and so far so good since during his time with the New York Jets. He's been outstanding. And, of course, he has some other guys on his with the linebacker core, such as Quincy Williams. Just give me your thoughts on C.J. and the rest of the linebacker core for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest here, Ed. I think the linebacking core is one of the weaker units, that and the safety unit. C.J. Mosley was pretty good the first part of the season last year, but then he really started to fall off a cliff. Particularly in pass coverage, he just looks slow out there. And I think he might be, unfortunately, in the beginning of a decline. Zaire Barnes, I think, has a lot of potential. He's very athletic. He and Quincy Williams are very similar, right? They're both athletic. They both can make some really jaw-dropping plays, but at the same time, their instincts can be spotty. They'll miss a lot of tackles. They'll have some issues in pass coverage. In fact, I would say Quincy Williams is pretty weak in pass coverage, and Zaire Barnes wasn't very good in the preseason. I believe 15 of 15 targets were completed against him. That's really pretty bad. Jamien Sherwood is a guy who was a draft pick a couple of years ago that the Jets have been continuing to develop. We'll see what he does. But overall, this linebacking core is really not anything close to what you would hope it would be. But look, every unit on the team can't be great. There's going to be weak spots. You hope that the defensive line can help cover for the weakness in the safety group and the linebacking group. Of course, you would hope that the cornerback, the strong cornerback room can do that as well. Chaz Surratt, the final linebacker that's here. Surratt is a guy who was a converted quarterback from college. He wound up becoming a linebacker, and he's another one who's been a bit of a project. Played reasonably well in training camp in the preseason, and so we'll see what he's able to do. But, yeah, that linebacking group is not where you would want it to be. But, again, the defense can't be great at every single spot. And so you've got C.J. Mosley, who's the leader of that group, and you hope that they can get enough out of them to be covered up for by that defensive line and the cornerback group.
All right, and I want to move along now to the cornerback group, Sauce Gardner. Listen, Sauce, for lack of a better term, he's really made his impact in a short amount of time since he's been in the NFL. And big things, he's predicting big things for himself this year. Give me your thoughts on Sauce and his play and the improvements he's made coming into 2023.
The cornerback group is interesting, Ed. I think Sauce Gardner, if you listen to everybody on social media, apparently Sauce Gardner is actually not good. He just gets away with holding and defensive pass interference all the time because apparently the league has this weird conspiracy that they want him to be great and help the Jets. Of course, living in reality, that's not the case. What's really going on is that Sauce is already becoming arguably the top cornerback in the entire league. And so when you have him locking down one side, DJ Reed, another one of the better corners in the NFL, who was probably Joe Douglas's best free agent signing since he's been here. You want to talk about a deal, 3 years, $33 million for a guy who really has emerged as one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL. Michael Carter, a really good slot corner as well. So you've got some, you know, potential for that to be the best cornerback group in the entire league. Like I said, the corners and the defensive line, both elite, and help cover up for that weak safety room because, let's be honest, Jordan Whitehead, not very good last year. Adrian Amos, who comes in here as a free agent, had a really poor season for the Packers. You're just sort of hoping that he bounces back. Ashton Davis has been a massive disappointment since the Jets drafted him in the third round a couple of years ago. A lot of people were hoping that it would be Trey Dean, the undrafted rookie out of Florida, who would make the team over Davis. Dean did come back on the practice squad, but Davis has been really bad. He had a couple of good preseason games this year, so people are hoping that he's finally putting that together. But that safety room is not good. Tony Adams is a guy that they are really relying on. He was an undrafted free agent out of Illinois last year who unexpectedly made the team, played pretty well when he got his opportunities at the end of last year and is a projected starter this year. So if he plays well, that might help bail out the safety group. But the cornerback group, I think, is what will really help bail out that safety group. Those three guys, the starters, from Gardner to Reed to Carter, I think are going to play a huge role in what this secondary is able to accomplish. So if they can get pressure on the front end with Quinnen Williams and the edge rushers, and then they can hold it down with the cornerbacks, Sauce, Carter, and Reed, that I think has a chance for the Jets to have a really, or provide the Jets with a really outstanding pass coverage unit and make life hell for opposing quarterbacks and opposing wide receivers.
You're right about that, and certainly the Jets can make things happen in the secondary, and hopefully Sauce Gardner and those gentlemen that you mentioned earlier with Reed and Whitehead and Hardy, they can contribute as well. And I want to transition now over to the head coach, Robert Saleh. Since I've had you on this program for quite a while now, Scott, we know Robert, his DNA is defense, coming over from the San Francisco 49ers, being a former defensive coordinator. This is his third year as the head coach of the New York Jets. So the pressure, the intensity is always high in New York, but now you've got Aaron Rodgers on board. The intensity and the pressure is even higher now. How is Coach Saleh handling all of this with Rodgers and, of course, with the expectations even higher for possibly they're talking about playoffs, Super Bowl, and things of that nature?
Well, obviously, I'm not in the locker room or I'm not in the meetings and all that, but just based on what I've heard and what I've seen publicly, he seems to be handling everything pretty well. The thing about Robert Saleh is that he's sort of the reverse of Adam Gase in that he's very much a pee person. Players love him. He's a guy who you've seen him. He brings a real energy to the sideline, a real energy to the locker room. He understands a lot of the aspects of being a coach that go beyond the X's and O's. And I think that's something that will serve him well with somebody like Aaron Rodgers. And it'll serve him well with guys that are more fun personalities like Quinnen Williams. I think this will be the year that you really find out what Robert Saleh is made of, right? Because his first year, there were quite a few mistakes. You chalk it up to him being a rookie head coach. Last year, there were ups and downs, but you had everything going on with Zach Wilson and Mike LaFleur and all of that, and so it was tough. A lot of injuries, right? This year, they bring in Aaron Rodgers, and so now no excuses. You expect to see results. So, yeah, on the outside, you may see Saleh as this solid rock, a guy who has the trust of the locker room, guy who is a fun personality, who understands how to get the most out of certain guys, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. But the test comes now. Can the Jets really, what it comes down to is win games? Can the Jets make the playoffs? Can the Jets do something this year that they haven't done since 2010? And that is play games past the regular season. And if they can't do that, then all of this stuff that we see on the outside, all of the fun-loving player, you know, friendly people person type of stuff is not going to matter, because the NFL is a results oriented business. As Jerry Glanville liked to say, the NFL stands for not for long if you don't win. And so that's really what it's going to be about. Robert Saleh looks like he's a guy that is well suited for this role. He looks the part, as they say, but can he actually deliver results? If he does, then I think he may very well get a contract extension. If he doesn't, then he may not be long for this job. So it's really very much a test for him this year to see what he can do, and we'll see if he passes that test.
Let's hope he passes the test. And I tell you one thing, the tests are always hard in New York, but hey, if you pass it, hey, guess what? To the victor goes the spoils, and certainly Robert Saleh, hopefully he can get a good season, and as you said, Scott, hopefully he's rewarded with a contract extension. And speaking of being rewarded, listen, the New York Jets, they got rewarded, and certainly somebody's a future first ballot Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers. Listen, great seasons he's had with the Green Bay Packers, four-time league MVP, former Super Bowl MVP. So after his last game as a Packer, he almost retired, but hey, he went into darkness, had the darkness retreat. He emerged from it, saw the light, and wanted to be traded, and the New York Jets made the move to land now number 8. So give me your thoughts, Scott, on what was your reaction like when you found out that Aaron was going to be the quarterback for the New York Jets?
My thoughts on Rodgers are, I think he's going to be here for a good time, not for a long time. So he even said it. His plan is to be here for a couple of years, and all things equal, if everything goes the way that everybody wants, he'll be here for a couple of years. But he's going to take it year by year because he's going to turn 40 this year, and so we have to see how his body holds up. Now, he's looked good in camp. He looked good in that one preseason game, but he is still going to be turning 40. So the question becomes, when does father time get Aaron Rodgers? If Aaron Rodgers can be anything close to what he was the two back-to-back MVP seasons in Green Bay, then the expectations should be through the roof, right? Because even if the Jets follow the Denver blueprint, and just to refresh people's memories, Denver year one went to the playoffs, and then year two, Peyton Manning set all these records. They brought in all these free agents, guys like Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, and DeMarcus Ware, and they ended up going to the Super Bowl. Now, they lost to the Seahawks, but the point is, year two is where they brought in all the reinforcements, and they were ready for that Super Bowl run. And so even if that's what the Jets' path is, that year number one they make the playoffs, and year two they go out, get a bunch of free agents, and really make a run for it, I think that's something that if Rodgers stays and if Rodgers continues to play at a high level, it's absolutely a possibility. What you really are looking to see here is, can Aaron Rodgers get back to what he was 2 years ago? Were the injuries last year and the new players the reason that his play dipped last year? Or is it because he's getting older and the decline is starting to set in? Because you got to remember, Ed, as optimistic as we want to be as Jets fans and as optimistic as we should be, only one quarterback has really played at a high level past the age of 40, and that's Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's sort of a unicorn that way. Most guys are retired by this age. I think Orrin Moon played till he was like 42, but he really wasn't all that good towards the end. Peyton Manning was retired by this point. Drew Brees played reasonably well his age 40 season before he retired, but a lot of it was screen passes and stuff. So you got to hope that the clock doesn't strike midnight on Aaron Rodgers and he turns into a pumpkin once he gets past the age of 40. But if he can play anything close to the way that he played for the majority of his career in Green Bay, then the Jets have an opportunity to do something the next couple of years. You start with this year, hope they make the playoffs. And I think Aaron Rodgers himself said this, make the playoffs, make the tournament, and then see what happens. And then from there, build on that, add more pieces, and hopefully make a run. So the hope is, see what the Jets can do this year, make the playoffs, and then hope for a run. And then after that, you hope that Rodgers stays healthy, continues to be sharp, the Jets can add pieces around him, and maybe get another year or two out of him beyond this year. And so that's where I think the expectation should be. But if you're a Jets fan, I think you want to be realistic. You hope that there's a chance they can make a real deep run, but start with the expectation of the postseason, the playoffs for the first time in 12 years. And if you get that, I think you should be a happy person. It's one of those deals, Ed, where people will say it's not that hard to make the playoffs in the NFL because now 14 teams make it. But remember, it's a little misleading because, yeah, if the Jets were in the NFC, it probably wouldn't be that hard to make the playoffs. In the AFC, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a real battle because every team in the Jets division is well suited to make the playoffs and compete for the division, with the possible exception of the Patriots. Every team in that Steelers division is well suited to make the Patriots, make the playoffs. Kenny Pickett is going to take a step forward this year, you would assume. We know what the Ravens can be with Lamar Jackson. The Bengals with Joe Burrow. You look at the Browns with Deshaun Watson potentially bouncing back. They've got a really good roster. So all those teams have a chance to make the playoffs. You get the Jaguars are a playoff caliber team. And then you've got the Chiefs and the Chargers in the West. So there's a lot of competition here. If you're a Jets fan, I think your expectation should be get in the playoffs this year, see what happens, and then hope that Rodgers' play carries over to next year and they can add extra reinforcements and really make a run in 2024.
Wow, well put right there. And I want to stay just with Rodgers for a moment. We've seen another quarterback who jumped ship from Green Bay to New York. It wasn't so long ago. I think he wore the number 4. And I have to ask you, in your opinion, Scott, what has been the biggest difference? I know it's a little premature, but what's been the biggest difference in terms of the hype and the anticipation with Rodgers going to New York as opposed to Favre going to New York?
That's a great question, Ed. And actually, I've had a lot of discussions about this, and it fascinates me to a large degree. If you remember back to what happened with Brett Favre, Brett Favre said he was retiring, then changed his mind and wanted to come back. But by that point, the Packers had already internally made the decision to move on to Aaron Rodgers, and it forced a weird standoff where Brett Favre came to training camp. He was showing up to training camp with the Packers, and they basically were like, we can't have you here. And so it became a situation where the Packers needed to trade Brett Favre. And Brett Favre wanted to go to the Minnesota Vikings, but the Packers did not want to trade him within their division, and they didn't even really want to trade him within the NFC. And so the only team that stepped up with an offer outside of that was the Jets. And Brett Favre didn't really want to go to the Jets. He really didn't feel like it would be a comfortable situation for him in the New York, New Jersey area, but the Jets flew out there. They wined and dined him. They convinced him. And so he eventually relented, and a big part of it was because Favre still wanted to play, and his only chance to play was going to be with the Jets. And so Favre showed up way later than Aaron Rodgers, and he was not really all that willing. He wanted to play, and he made his peace with playing with the Jets, but he really wanted to go to Minnesota. And if you remember, after that first year with the Jets let him leave, and he went to Minnesota and played there for a couple of years. With Aaron Rodgers, it's different. Now, the one thing that is the same with Favre and Rodgers is that Rodgers had no other options realistically, because the only team that was interested in trading for his contract was the Jets. Now, I think if his contract hadn't been what it was, other teams would have been interested too. But the reality is the Jets were the only team that were interested. But the Jets, it wasn't the same situation in terms of them having to basically beg and plead and all that. Yeah, we know about how they flew out there to meet with Rodgers and they had to wine and dine him and show him. But Rodgers was all in from the second he made the decision. He decided he wanted to be a Jet. He wanted to be here. He was excited to play with his old buddy Nathaniel Hackett. He immediately took Zach Wilson under his wing. He immediately took on a leadership role. And remember, the Jets got him in April. So there's been months and months of this building up. And he's been with the team all that time as opposed to Favre showing up at the last second. And the players already seem to love him. And you see how they all have taken to him. He's really taken an active role in the offense and really just with the players in general. I mean, little things like you heard he took Mekhi Becton out to lunch, where I think actually it was at the team facility. They had lunch together. And he really stuck up for Mekhi Becton and pushed for him to get an opportunity to start at right tackle. And that's what's happened. You've heard how he's really taken a liking to a lot of the defensive players, hanging out with Michael Clemens, who he calls Debo. A lot of the players call him that because of the Tiny Lister character Debo in the Friday movies, right? And so that's really been the difference, is that Aaron Rodgers, it seems like he's excited to be here. He's happy to be here. He loves to be. He's going out on the town with Sauce Gardner and Alan Lazard and Breece Hall and seeing Rangers games and going to Broadway plays and doing things like that. He seems to really like being in New York, whereas Favre was here and was staying at a place way out in the boonies in the countryside. He just wasn't really built for that type of situation, that atmosphere. And so that seems to be what the difference is here, Ed. Rodgers wanted to be here. He made it clear he wanted to be here. He was excited to come here. He's made a major impact in the locker room already. He's taken a lot of these guys under his wing. He's taken an active mentorship role with Zach Wilson, who he seems to like as a younger brother of sorts. And Favre really was just here because he wanted to play football, and the Jets were the only team that the Packers were willing to trade him to. It's a very different situation in that regard. So, yes, both guys legendary quarterbacks. Yes, both guys former MVPs. Yes, both guys former Super Bowl champions. But the major difference here to me is how much Aaron Rodgers wants to be here, how invested he is, and how the players really seem to have immediately gotten on board with doing things his way and him really taking the reins. And so I think it's a major difference, honestly. And also for the fan base, the difference is with Favre, it was out of the blue in August. It was completely unexpected. This time around, the Jets made it clear immediately after the season that they were going to be looking for a major upgrade at quarterback with a veteran. And it became clear fairly quickly that Rodgers was the top target. It became fairly quickly that Rodgers wanted to be here. It became fairly quickly that the Jets were the only team that were going to be able to get a deal done for Rodgers, and that he wanted to be here. He was all in. And so the Jets fans have had since that point, and really especially since they acquired him in April, to get excited about Rodgers and to see what his presence would mean here for the team. So those are the major differences, and I think it's fascinating. I think it has a chance to really pay off for this team if Rodgers can, knock on wood, stay healthy, and if these guys can really get on the same page with him and heed his leadership.
You're absolutely right about that, Scott. I did notice some of those differences. Like when Brett was playing for the Jets that one year he was there, it was mainly a football thing. But since he's been in the New York, New Jersey area, he's really been, as you say, out on the town and gotten a chance to know some of his teammates, try to bond with them, specifically with Zach Wilson, having that big brother, little brother relationship is definitely so far so good. It's new times for Aaron Rodgers, and he's definitely enjoying his time so far being in the New York area. And when you think of New York players and sports teams and just how New York sports fans as a whole, they really love players that they had that have big personalities, and especially players that embrace the area. What has been Jets fans' response to Aaron Rodgers since he's been a member of the Jets?
He's really seemed to take a liking to it. He's been going out on the town. There's been a bunch of fun stories about he went out with Sauce Gardner to a Rangers game, and they were, I think it was in the press area or whatever it was, or the locker rooms or wherever it is, I guess the VIP area. They saw Jessica Alba, and Rodgers said, "Look, it's Jessica Alba." And Sauce said, "Who's Jessica Alba?" And then he teased Sauce about not knowing who Jessica Alba is. Sauce brought him that chain, which is really cool. So you can see that relationship developing. He went out with Breece Hall and Alan Lazard. He went to a Taylor Swift concert. There's video of that. So he seems to really be enjoying it here. And as far as the teammates and all that, like I said, taking Mekhi Becton out to lunch, really taking an active role in the development of Zach Wilson. If you've watched Hard Knocks or One Jets Drive, you've seen that. Little things, and Zach Wilson, to his credit, has really soaked it up. I mean, you watched on Hard Knocks where he said, you do the double hitch, and then you get out because I've seen you hitch four times, and you're waiting too long. If you hitch twice and there's nothing there, use your legs. And in that preseason game, Zach Wilson did it. He hitched twice, and then he got out and made that. You've seen Aaron Rodgers goof around at practice with Michael Clemens, with Quinnen Williams. If you watch Hard Knocks, you saw him joke, hey, that was Quinnen Williams having his 11th sack. these guys all look to him as a leader, and he's really enjoying everything that's around him, all the surroundings of New York, like I said, Taylor Swift concerts and things like that. He's enjoying being with Nathaniel Hackett. There's a scene in Hard Knocks where they sit the players down and teach them about Leslie Nielsen and his movies and Airplane, Naked Gun, all of that. So he really seems to be having fun. The fans, he's signing autographs. They're chanting for him in practices. This is not what a lot of people thought the Jets were getting, because you heard the stories out of Green Bay about how he had been difficult the last couple of years and there was some friction there between him and the front office. But he's really been great for the Jets so far. It's been fantastic. It's everything you could have wanted. Now you just hope it translates to results on the field.
As they say, a change will do you good, and so far so good. Aaron is enjoying the change, not just with his new team, but most importantly with the new area that he's in, specifically in New York City, New Jersey area. All right, so Scott, I got to ask you this. So we talked about Aaron, we talked about Coach Sala, we talked about all the important parts that make up the New York Jets. So I got to ask you, what's your 2023 season outlook like for the Jets? Do you see them going to the playoffs? Do you see them maybe having an opportunity to play for the Lombardi? Do you see them going below 500? What's your outlook for the team this year?
I think I hit on this a little bit earlier, but I'll expand upon it. I think the Jets will probably win 10 or 11 games, get a wild card, although I do think they'll push for the division. I think the Bills will ultimately win the division, but I think they'll push for the division. And I think they'll get a wild card. I could see them possibly winning a playoff game if they get the right opponent in the first round. There's no reason why I couldn't see them possibly winning a game against the Jaguars, for example, if that winds up being the matchup, if, say, they get the top wild card seed. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year. I'm not saying it's out of the question. I just think that this year they're probably a playoff team with potential to maybe make a run if things go right. But I think this year is the year that will set the stage, hopefully, for 2024. And if Aaron Rodgers and this team can prove to players around the league that they're for real, then I think that just like what you saw in Denver with Peyton Manning that first year, you'll see, or I should say that second year, you'll see a lot of big-ticket players wanting to come here and potentially chase a ring with Rodgers and the rest of these guys. So I think my expectation is 10, 11 wins and a playoff spot this year. Anything above that would be a bonus, and then build on that for next year.
All right, solid. And I've got to ask you this question. Monday night, Bills and the Jets, it's going to be a worldwide television audience. All right, silly question, but who wins and what's the score?
I think I hate making predictions like this, but I do think with the crowd behind them and everything going into this, I think the Jets will win this game. I think it'll be close. I think they'll win somewhere in the 3 to 7 point range. I'm going to go out and say 24-21 is your final score, something along those lines.
All right, solid. It's going to be a close game Monday night between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers making his regular season debut as the quarterback of the New York Jets. And you heard it from me, Scott Mason, host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. Again, Scott, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Play Like a Jet.
Ed, thanks, brother. Really appreciate you having me on. Happy to come back anytime you like. Right now, we've got daily podcasts happening as always, 365 days a year, fresh podcast, even in the off season. It's probably why I'm pulling out what's remaining of my hair at this point, but we've got daily shows. It's going to be nonstop action as we get ready for the Jets and the Bills Monday night. I'm really looking forward to it, Ed, and I think that anybody who's a Jets or Bills fan, and really anybody who's a football fan, should be highly anticipating this matchup, because whether you're a Jets fan or a Bills fan, this game is going to have an electric atmosphere, and I think you're going to hear the Jets crowd, as I said, be as loud as it's been since any point since the 2009 home opener.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that, Scott. And certainly us, all of us being football fans, and we've waited long enough, and it's definitely worth the wait. And Bills Jets on Monday night, it's going to be exciting from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So, Scott, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Play Like a Jet and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, for sure. The website is playlikeajet.com. You can find me on Twitter at playlikeajet1. You can rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere where you get your podcasts. All reviews are very much appreciated because the way the algorithm works, the more reviews we get on iTunes, the easier it is for the show to pop up when people search Jets Podcast. So if you can go ahead and review the show, give us 5 stars, really be appreciated. Doesn't take you much time, and it costs you nothing to do it. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. So iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere you find podcasts. We've got our YouTube channel, youtube.com/playlikeajet. We're going to really be ramping up the content, but we've got a lot of great videos up there. Then we've got our store over at teepublic.com. It's teepublic.com. You can get yourself a Play Like a Jet logo shirt. We're going to be restocking with some other fun stuff, but we've also got the John Franklin Myers, Quinn and Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, where you can celebrate the retention of the services of Quinn and Williams, who signed that big contract extension in the offseason. So, Ed, that's where everybody can find me, and that's where everybody can find the podcast. And as always, I appreciate you having me on. I look forward to coming back soon.
Oh, appreciate you as well. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And you heard it from him, Scott Mason, host of the Play Like a Jet podcast, giving you the 411 on all things related to the NFL's New York Jets. Scott, as always, thanks again, man. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
You got it, Ed. Happy to come back anytime.
Thanks again, and we'll be back with more right after this.
I want to say thank you to Christopher and Woody for bringing me here. Obviously, Coach Sala, Joe Douglas, my agent, Dave Dunn. This is a surreal day for me. After spending 18 years in the same city, it's been a lot of introductions today and meeting a lot of people, but there's a lot of excitement. I'm here because I believe in this team. I believe in Coach Sala. I believe in the direction of Joe Douglas. Obviously, he's drafted really well the last couple of years, having the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. But big thanks to the Jets organization. Obviously, a big thanks to the Green Bay Packers organization for an incredible run. That chapter is over now, and I'm excited about the new adventure here in New York.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
When you look around your home, what makes you smile?
Personal touches?
Beautiful light, lines, colors, things of quality that enhance your life. California Closets specializes in making space for what belongs, with richly textured finishes and quality materials that last. From the bedroom to the pantry to the mudroom, everything we do is custom designed, built, and installed by people who take pride in serving you. Think of it as practical magic. Book your free design consultation today at californiaclosets.com.
Ever notice what happens when your home is beautifully organized? You have more space, more room to breathe. At California Closets, our designers know just what questions to ask to create exactly what you want. Your personalized experience includes custom design and installation to deliver a result that truly reflects your style and needs. That's the California Closets difference. We call it practical magic.
Book your free design consultation today at californiaclosets.com.
How can Sunshine Quality Solutions and a John Deere 5 Series help you make the most of the Louisiana outdoors? These machines are built to stand up against the toughest conditions while keeping you comfortable, from vegetation management to hauling heavy loads and everything in between. The 5 Series has you covered. Learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine and check out our current promotions at sunequip.com.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Scott Mason, host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing New York Jets content. And again, a big special thank you again to Scott for appearing on the program. And as always, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
When you look around your home, what makes you smile? Personal touches? Beautiful light, lines, colors, things of quality that enhance your life. California Closets specializes in making space for what belongs, with richly textured finishes and quality materials that last. From the bedroom to the pantry to the mudroom, everything we do is custom designed, built, and installed by people who take pride in serving you. Think of it as practical magic. Book your free design consultation today at californiaclosets.com. Ever notice what happens when your home is beautifully organized? You have more space, more room to breathe. At California Closets, our designers know just what questions to ask to create exactly what you want. Your personalized experience includes custom design and installation to deliver a result that truly reflects your style and needs. That's the California Closets difference. We call it practical magic. Book your free design consultation today at californiaclosets.com.
Wicked, Broadway's most popular musical returns to New Orleans.
So if you care to find me, look to the western sky.
Don't miss the untold true story of the Witches of Oz from November 29th through December 17th at the Sanger Theater. Tickets are on sale now. Wicked, it's the only musical with the power to defy gravity. Visit BroadwayInNewOrleans.com to get wicked.
Before Sarah discovered ChumbaCasino.com, she enjoyed chamomile tea.
Come on, big jackpot.
And being in PJs by 6.
Let's go.
The new fun Sarah
woo-hoo!
Often thinks about the old boring Sarah.
Yes.
And wonders if that Sarah ever really existed.
Chumba Casino has over 100 casino-style games, so join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.